بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. لأن ذا أوثر رحمه الله related the hadith of Imran bin Husayn raised to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said ليس منا من تطير أو تطير له أو تكهن أو تكهن له أو سحر أو سحر له، ومن أتى كاهنا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. On the authority of Imran bin Husayn رضي الله عنه in a مرفوع form, in a raised form meaning of the narration, raised meaning to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is reported whoever practices الطيرة or tells fortunes or seeks advice from fortune teller or practices magic or asks another to do so is not one of us. And whoever goes to the soothsayer and believes what he tells him, he has believed in that which was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tatayyur or at-tayyara is to have omen in what is seen or heard or known or the like. And it's derived from at-tayr, the bird. Because as we learned earlier, the Arabs used either to have black or quote good omen in the birds or from birds. And we discussed that. And also from this is what may occur to people when they are about to do something. And then they may, in the beginning, they may do a mistake or an error. So they will abandon the work and then have a bad omen concerning it. This is not permissible. Rather, the person should depend upon Allah and have full trust in Him. And as you know that in this matter that you are embarking on there is good, then go ahead. Don't have a bad omen if you don't succeed in it from the first time. Many are those who did not succeed in their matters from the first time, but from the second or the third. And one of the imams of Arabic grammar, Al-Kisa'i, he sought the knowledge of the Arabic grammar many times, and Nahu, but he was not successful. One day he saw an ant carrying the kernel of a date, taking it towards the wall, trying to climb the wall, and then it falls down until it repeated that several times and it was able to achieve ascending the wall. So he said, Subhanallah, this ant exerts this effort and carry this kernel in this way and then succeeds. And so therefore I will also tackle this knowledge of the Arabic grammar until I succeed. And so he did. And he became the imam of the Kufa in Iraq, in the knowledge of al-Nahu, the Arabic grammar. In this hadith, also there is the forbiddance to go to someone and say, for example, to him, I'm about to travel to this and to such and such place. And you have a bird. And I would like you to cry out at the bird to see, is this direction I am seeking a blessed one or not? So anyone who does this, then the Prophet ﷺ has declared that he is not of us. So therefore, the one who practices at-tiyara, this comprises whether he does it for himself or to others. Then in the second statement, or tells fortunes, or seeks advice from a fortune teller. We learned that the fortune telling is claiming knowledge of the unseen regarding the future, saying that such and such will take place, and it may occur. It may occur, because these people, as we learned, they utilize the devils, the shayateen, who snatch the news from the heavens, and then they add to it so many lies. But it may occur. And also, in our times, you find common people saying, such and such person takahana bi anna fulanan sayati. Such and such person takahan. They use the word takahan. That such and such person will come. This is an act which is forbidden. But they use it in this way, and it should not be used, because the common person does not distinguish between the things which are kahana, fortune telling, and that things which are allowed. The second thing is that he seeks advice from a fortune teller, saying to him, what will occur to me tomorrow, or in the next month, or in the such and such year. Also, both the Prophet ﷺ said, not one of us. Then, أو سحر أو سحر له, or practices magic, or asks another to do so. We learned earlier the definition of sihr and its types. Here in the second part, or asks another to do so, meaning seeks from the magician to do the magic for him, and from that is the nushra, to resolve magic by way of magic, is included. And people used to do that in various ways. From that they would bring, for example, a bucket of water, and they pour lead in it. So the face of this magician will be imprinted in this lead. And the common people used to call it sabbur rasas, pouring lead. This is from the forbidden, one of the types of forbidden sihr. So here also again, those practicers of magic, or those who ask another to do so, the Prophet ﷺ said concerning them that they are not from us. So the point of evidence from this hadith is, من أتى كاهنا, whoever seeks goes to a soothsayer and believes him, then he has disbelieved in that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the author rahimahullah mentioned some points regarding the definition, certain definitions, and from that is al-arraf, and he related the saying of al-baghawi, الإمام البغوي رحمه الله, who said that العراف is a person who claims to know the matters with four signs by which he can put to stolen items, the place of lost things, and the like. Others went to the definition to say that Al-Arraf is the kahin, is the fortune teller, and that the kahin is the one who foretells of unseen matters in the future. Also, it is said that he is the one who informs of inner secrets. So Al-Baghawi rahimahullah said that Al-Arraf is a person who claims to know the matters with four signs by which he can point to certain things like stolen items, etc. But this covers matters of the unseen. He claims to know the matters with four signs. So, what's apparent from the wording of Al-Baghawi, that it covers whoever claims the knowledge of the future or the past. Why? Because the place of lost things is known after the theft. And similarly, if something is lost, there is no unanimous agreement concerning the definition of this arraf, as we have learned so far. Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, considered him to be the person who claims to know the matters with four signs by which he can point to stolen items, and that this may cover things of the future and of the past. And it is said, is the one who may tell of the inner secrets. Or the one who tell about things of the future, what will occur in the next month, in the next year. Is my wife going to give birth? When my son will come? And that's like, and the like. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that Al-Arraf is a name for the fortune teller and the astrologer and the diviner and the like, who speak of having knowledge of matters in similar ways. And Ibn Taymiyyah, Ahmad bin Abdul Halim bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah, is Ahmad bin Abdul Halim bin Abdul Salam bin Taymiyyah, nicknamed Abu al-Abbas, and he did not get married. And he didn't abandon marriage because of celibacy. However, and Allah knows best, he was busy with the strive of knowledge, with less inclination towards the sexual drive. And it is contrary to what the falsifiers claim, that he has a son buried next to him in Damascus. This is absolutely incorrect. Then, in the next report, the author, rahimahullah, related the saying of Ibn Abbas concerning some people who write certain things. Ibn Abbas said about those who write Abajad alphabet and gaze at the stars He said, I don't see that whoever does such has any share with Allah. They gave the stars to believe in their influence on the earth. Now, his saying Abjad, which means Abjad, these alphabets, Abjad, Hawaz, Hutti, Kalimun, combination of these letters of the alphabet, learning them is divided into two kinds. Allowable, whereby they are learned to calculate sentences and the like. This is no harm, and people still use them. Even scholars, they use them. And scholars in the past also did use them, even in poetry in fiqh and poetry in grammar and the like. And they use them to also utilize in matters related to the writing the history of a scholar, for example, from his death and his birth. This is not intended in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. This is excluded. This is allowable, the utilization of the alphabets in this way. What is forbidden, however, is to write them in a way linked to the movement of the stars and their rising and their setting and gazing at the stars in order to check whether there is agreement or disagreement as to what may occur on earth, either in general regarding drought, illnesses, war and the like, or in particular, like for example, to say to someone, an illness will occur to you, or you're going to get poor, or you're going to get happy, or you're going to get such and such. So they link this with that. They link the movements of the stars to these letters. While we know there is no connection between the movement of stars and changes in reality on earth. Now, the wording of Ibn Abbas concerning these people who do that, he said, مَا أَرَى مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. He said, I don't consider that those who do this will have any share with Allah. What's apparent from the wording of Ibn Abbas, that he sees he sees their disbelief. Because the one who does not have a share with Allah is the kafir, is the disbeliever. Why? Because the share cannot be absolutely negated from any one of the believers. Even though he may have sinned and tortured for his sins, or that may Allah had forgiven him, and then he ended up to have whatever share he may have with Allah. So what is apparent from the wording of Ibn Abbas, that he sees their kufr. The author, however, rahimahullah, in all what has preceded so far, with respect to the fortune teller, the astrologer, the diviner, did not clarify as to their punishment in this life. That is because if we rule that they are disbelievers, then the ruling regarding them in this life is that they are to be given respite, and if they
repent. Otherwise, they will be killed as kafirs. But if we rule that they are not disbelievers, either because their magic does not reach the level of kufr, or we say that they don't disbelieve because the matter is a matter of difference of opinion, then in this case, it's a must that they be killed. For what reason? For warding off their harm and their evil. Even if we say that they don't disbelieve. Why? Because the reasons for killing is not particular to disbelief only. Rather, killing has reasons, varied reasons. Listen to what Allah said. Killing as a punishment. Listen to what Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Chapter 5, verse 33. إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا أن يقتلوا أو يصلبوا أو تقطع أيديهم وأرجلهم من خلاف أو ينفوا من الأرض. The recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and do mischief in the land is that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands and their feet be cut off on the opposite sides, or be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a great torment is theirs in the hereafter. And this is not left for everyone, this is left for the Muslim imam, leader. Whoever, therefore, corrupts the religion of people, or their lives, then he may be given respite. If he repents, then alhamdulillah. Otherwise, the legal punishment of killing him is applicable. Especially when these matters may reach to the point where it may take the person out of the fold of Islam. Now, gazing at the stars is divided into two types. First type is to conclude or take by their movements and pathways as evidences for earthly occurrences, whether in general or in particular. This is shirk. If the person believes that these stars dispose the affairs, or that it has a partner, then this is disbelief which takes him from Islam. But if he believes that it is only a cause, then his kufr is not that which takes him out of the fold of Islam, but it is called kufr. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after a rainy night in the hadith, he said, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. And this hadith is of Zayd bin Khalid al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the morning prayer in al-Hudaybiyah, and it had rained the previous night. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished the prayer, he faced the people and said, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Lord has said? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Messenger know better. قَالَ أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah says, in this morning some of my worshippers remained as true believers and some became non-believers. أَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. He who said that it had rained with the blessing and mercy of Allah is one who believes in me and does not believe in the star. فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ. But he who said it had rained because of such and such a star is a disbeliever in me and is a believer in the star. And we have learned that this kufr is divided into two types, depending on the
creed of the individual regarding it. The second type of gazing at the stars is to learn the knowledge whereby it's useful regarding indications for seasons and indications for when to do the agriculture and the like. This is from the permissible methods. And the third type is to learn them so as to know the timing of prayers and the direction of the Qibla and the like from the legal matters. And here the learning is legal. And it could be an individual, or sometimes it could be a collective duty or an individual duty. From this chapter, we learn things from them. That the belief in the kahin, in the fortune teller, and faith in the Quran cannot coexist. Why? Because he belies the Quran. And this is from the greatest kufr. Whoever therefore seeks a soothsayer and believes in what he says, then he has disbelieved in that which has been sent down on Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, as came in the narrations discussed earlier. Second is that it's explicitly mentioned that this is kufr, disbelief. Also we learned that the same is applicable in terms of the one who seeks advice and who practices fortune telling, the kahin, or has his fortune told. They are not from us, the Prophet ﷺ said. Similarly, with respect to the one who seeks the omens, and also for the one who mention of the one of whom an omen is sought, yes, and mention of the one for whom sorcery is done, and mention of those who learn abjad, use the alphabet in soothsaying or astrology. Why did the author bring all of this now, these different classes or different kinds? Because lest someone may oppose and say, well, this is only for the fortune teller, and this is only for the magician. So therefore, when the author brought that, is to affirm that whoever seeks that these things be done to him also, then he is like them in terms of the applicability of the punishment. And from that also we learn those who learn the abjad. And we learn their classes. And that some of them may fall in the category of kufr, and some may not fall, as explained earlier. The next matter, we learn the difference between the fortune teller and the arraf. And we learn that there is difference of opinion between the scholars regarding this matter. First saying that the arraf is the fortune teller, and the fortune teller is the one who tells of the matters in the future. And therefore they are synonymous in accordance with the first opinion. There is no difference between them. The second saying is that the arraf is the one who claims to know the matters with four signs by which he can point to stolen items and lost items. So in this case, it's more general than the fortune teller, because it comprises the fortune teller and other than him. And the third is that the Arraf is the one who tells or informs of the inner secrets, while the Kahin, the fortune teller, is the one who informs of the unseen in the future. So therefore, Al-Arraf is, he is the Kahin, the fortune teller, or he's more general than him. Or that you say that the Arraf is particular to matters of the past, while the Kahin, the fortune teller, is in relevance to the matters of the future. In this case, they will be distinguished. And this is what's apparent, that they are distinguished. The fortune teller is the one who tells about the things of the future, of the unseen. While the Arraf, as explained earlier, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, knows best. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. This brings the end of chapter 26.